Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio. Unplug, strap yourself in, because you are about to move beyond the matrix.
You finally arrived at the destination you were looking for, Beyond the Matrix. I am your host, Rod Bryant, and thank you so much for making today such a special day. For many of you throughout the nations, you had a New Year's celebration just a few days ago. Some of you are already day three or four, maybe, or day two of your New Year's resolution, whatever that may be. I've made a resolution a number of years ago, and that is to make no resolutions. Just so much easier. It's just much more important to focus on what is the most important thing in your life all the time, every day, not just once a year. So thank you so much for joining us. I would like to ask you if you could take time to message me by sending me an email, rod@israelnewstalkradio.com, rod@israelnewstalkradio.com. I would be delighted to hear from you. I do hear from you guys on a regular basis. It really makes my doing the show much easier in the sense that I get input from you guys, and then you'll say something, hey, have you thought about interviewing this person or that person? And I actually have a couple of individuals on the back burner I'm getting ready to bring on here in 2018, so I think it'll be really exciting. Today I have with me Yafia Bata da Costa, and she works with the Anusim out of Israel, and we have some really interesting updates for all of you guys. Yafia, I'm so glad that you've decided to come on the show today. You and I have been sort of batting a tennis ball of oral communications back and forth for like 3 months now. So I'm glad to have you here. What is an Anusim?
I want to thank you for having me on the show. You know, I've been on Beyond the Matrix before, and it's always a lot of fun, and I appreciate your having me on. The Anusim, that word is a Hebrew word. It's plural, by the way. Some people don't understand. Masculine singular would be Anus, and that's why we spell it A-N-O-U-S phonetically in English.
Right.
Feminine is Anusa, feminine singular, and then plural is Anusim, mm-hmm. and it's a word in Hebrew that means forced or coerced.
Forced or coerced, and you're going to stand by along with I, and while we take a break, go get some tea or somebody, if you're out there, you need to get something to drink. We'll be back right after these messages. We're going to be talking about the Anusim, those who have been forced to convert are now coming home. Baruch Hashem. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We're back on the same channel here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm Rod Bryant, your host. Thank you so much for listening to Beyond the Matrix every week. It really means a lot, and I really appreciate the input that you guys have been giving us on email. I have with me Yafia Bata da Costa, and she works with the Anusim, and she was just explaining the Anusim are those people throughout the nations, but specifically Sephardic, Spanish descent, Portuguese, people that were forced out of their Judaism, forced out of the country, and actually forced to convert. And many of these people are coming back. Their Jewish soul is waking up. As a matter of fact, I have a brand new couple that just started coming. They used to be Roman Catholic, and the husband said, I need something else. I don't know what it is. And they saw the center and the Torah study. They came in, and lo and behold, they have a Jewish grandmother. And he's so excited about his journey. And I said, look, this is going to be a long journey, so take your time coming in. Give us an update. Where are we at right now, and what's going on in the world of the Anusim?
Well, so the thing is, we call the people who are descended from the Anusim of 500 some odd years ago, B'nai Anusim, which means children or descendants of the Anusim, like we say, B'nai Israel, okay? They're also called crypto-Jews. They're also called secret Jews, because that's what happened. The Judaism went underground, and it was hidden from view. There were customs and traditions that were passed down, but only in the home, in the privacy of the home, because anything that was out in the public could get a person killed, especially during the 350 years of an active Inquisition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And that Inquisition followed people to Mexico City, for example, to Brazil in the New World. Okay, so this was nothing to, sneeze at or just kind of ignore. And the incredible stuff that happened for those 350 years, by the way, most of the people who were killed in auto-da-fé, okay, being burned at the stake, were women for doing just this, for keeping customs and traditions in the home. So we call them B'nai Anusim. And just so you know, because a lot of people ask me over the years, every time I do a lecture, people ask me, how many of these people exist in the world? The answer is anywhere globally, I mean, in all countries of the world, anywhere from 100 to 500 million people
may have
this ancestry.
That's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
That is really mind-boggling. So what is...
And if only 5% of them were to come back, that's 5 million people.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know.
Absolutely. So what has been one of the most particularly difficult challenges in raising up the banner of the Anusim and the B'nai Anusim in Israel, within the Jewish court system, with rabbis? What has been the most difficult challenge?
Well, there are several. For a lot of reasons, a lot of people don't even know about the B'nai Anusim today and that they are rising. We call it the Anusim Rising Movement. A lot of people don't know. Another aspect is a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot, maybe just some people, don't even believe it. There are deniers out there, and people say, oh, it can't be. After 500 years, people are still, you know, having matrilineal descent. Okay, this all comes from the mother's side. Mm-hmm. And there are still people that can go back to a grandmother or a great-grandmother or whatever who kept these customs and traditions. In my case, it went back to my great-grandmother. My mother's parents and grandparents immigrated to the United States, to New Bedford, Massachusetts, actually, circa 1915 and 1917. 100 years ago.
Wow.
And then my mother was born in 1918, okay? So, I mean, it's clear that this is possible to happen, okay? But some people are deniers and naysayers. They say, no, it can't be. Then another obstacle we face is that there are some rabbis that don't want to accept that there are people who have enough evidence and strong evidence for their maternal descent from Jewish women, okay? And they want to make all of the Anusim go through straight conversion,
right,
and not have a return process for those people who do have the evidences. Not everybody does, but for those people who do. Now, the Sephardi rabbis that are lining up to support us and work with our people have a huge heart for this movement and for what we're doing, everything that's going on. So we're starting to see some breaks in some of these obstacles and barriers that we've been facing. But, Rod, I've been working with the B'nai Anusim, and I am one. I'm a returnee, for over 20 years, okay? And now it's just starting to break.
Right.
It's incredible. Yeah.
And what really excites me is I'm also a part of seeing that happening. Here in Houston, there's a particular shul that we have a great relationship. Rabbi Yakovian is the rabbi for Torah V'Chesed, which is a Sephardic community. He also sits on the Beis Din. And yesterday was a couple, the Weirs, that just converted or finished their conversion. They had been there a little over a year and a half. They left the Nativ community about a year and a half ago to join into the community and start their process. And they officially converted to Judaism yesterday on I guess it was New Year's Day, January 1st. And wow. So to see that sort of completion take place in a home, in a family, in which this beautiful couple really didn't have much religion at all, and yet as soon as they heard the words of the Torah, their lives transformed, and within about a 3-year period of time, they realized we've got to go ahead and complete this circle, because they did find out about their Jewish ancestry and the process, and it's incredible what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, this could overshadow the Russian Jewry movement.
Oh, I do believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Now, that took 20 years, approximately.
Right.
I'm being rough numbers here. And year after year, more and more people joined that bandwagon of the Soviet Jewry movement, okay, to push, cajole, encourage, whatever words we want to use, the Soviet Republic to let these Jewish people leave and come to Israel, and it finally broke, okay? And I'm told, I'm hoping to meet him very soon, but I'm told that Natan Sharansky, who's now the head of the Jewish agency in Israel, and who came out of, you know, that whole scenario, mm-hmm. right? And he was in jail. He was a refusenik.
Right.
I'm told by several people now that he's extremely supportive of what we're doing.
Ah, beautiful.
And he also understands that our people, our ancestors, were refuseniks before the refuseniks.
right. Before there was refuseniks, they were refuseniks.
In the Sephardi world, in Spain and Portugal, and the colonies of Spain and Portugal, because my mother's family came from the Azores.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just thrilling to be involved in this movement and to see these people and their passion and their commitment and their joy in being able to come back. This is a fulfillment, not just for prophecy, and the specific prophecies, you know, is Ovadia chapter 1.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to quote that. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, no, you can quote it. But the other side of it is our ancestors for 500 years prayed for this.
Right.
Okay. That their descendants would be able to come home someday, and there would be a home in the land, you know, of our ancient homeland to come to. And it's thrilling. It's just incredible.
You know, I can remember reading that verse in Ovadia many years ago, and it almost seemed cryptic and impossible. Mm-hmm. And to realize that it's actually taking place in our time, and it's not just this one event, but there are a whole series of events that have just unfolded in the last year and a half that lets us know that there is a tidal wave of redemption that is happening throughout the world. If it's not the B'nai Anusim, it's the B'nai Noach. It's people that are mm-hmm. coming out of the woodwork to bring themselves up to a higher level of connection with Hashem and the Torah and the Jewish people.
And that's all redemptive. Absolutely. 100%. That all has to happen before Mashiach can
absolutely.
Come. Absolutely. 100%.
Absolutely.
By the way, you know how I know that?
Go ahead.
Because the verses after, the two verses after Ovadia chapter 1, verse 20, say that specifically. Verse 21, okay, says, and saviors will come up to Mount Zion and judge the mountain of Esau. And then the last verse says, and the kingdom will belong to Hashem, or the kingdom will be Hashem's. Okay? So you have to read 120, chapter 1, verse 20, in context of the few verses before, right? We always have to read in context. And the few verses after. So this is, by the way, the other aspect to share about it is, okay, Judea, we get the term Jew mm-hmm. from Judeans, you know, Yehudim. And when the Romans exiled our people from this land almost 2,000 years ago, okay, and they were spread all over the Holy Roman Empire as it existed at that time, but then 500, again, approximately, round numbers, 500 years ago, our Sephardi aspect of the people of Yehudim, the Jews, were exiled from the rest of the Jews.
Right.
So when we talk about the ingathering of the exiles, it makes perfect sense that this movement because the state of Israel has existed now for 70 years, mm-hmm. and all kinds of people have made Aliyah and come and build the country, right? But it just makes sense that the tail end of the prophecies about the quote-unquote ingathering of the exiles will be those who were exiled from the other exiles.
Absolutely. And no, it does make sense. And we'll kind of get into a little bit of instruction on how an individual can sort of participate in this, whether they're B'nai Anosim or in the Jewish community. But we're going to come back right after the break, and we'll introduce some very exciting things that are going on this year coming up in the springtime. So don't go away. Stay right here. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
It is great to be alive today, especially in this time, in this generation. This year is going to be an amazing year. We're going to see so many exciting things that are taking place in the nations when it comes to the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Torah, a lot of things happening in the geopolitical world that sort of makes people tense. But Yaffa, one of the things that we learn is when everything seems to be so chaotic in the world, the creator of the universe is actually designing some master plan and laying it out. So it's sort of like a magician, sleight of hand, like a sleight of hand movement. And while all this chaos is going on, the creator is doing some amazing, amazing redemptive work in the world. So this coming spring, tell us about what's going on and what you're trying to accomplish again this year.
Okay. Well, and by the way, all this other stuff is just a distraction, so we have the ability to do what we're doing, okay?
Exactly.
And other people who are doing work for Hashem, obviously, not just us. But the last 2 years, we have done Anusim pro-Israel rallies on the occasion of Yom Ha'atzma'ut, Israel Independence Day. And it started small the first year we did it, 2016. Then we did it last year, 2017, in May. This year it's going to be April 19th, 2018. Now, some people, because of people's work schedules and whatever, in some locations they might do the rally on the Sunday before or the Sunday after, because Independence Day is on a Tuesday, I think, this year. But we do these rallies waving the Israeli flag. It's a rally. It's not a protest. You know?
Yeah.
It's a celebration.
I'm surprised you haven't had counter protests that show up because they think it's a protest.
Well, no, because, you know, there are other people who do rallies and they don't have too much trouble, or they haven't had too much trouble. And we haven't had trouble at all last couple of years. Thank God.
Good.
We don't expect any, because it's really not a protest. We're not complaining about anything. We're actually celebrating Israel. By the way, this year is so special. It's the 70th anniversary of the State of Israel.
Oh,
so our goal this year is going to be to have 70 cities.
Right. That's very significant.
Minimum. Well, the number 7 is significant, and then 10 times 7, 70.
Right.
You know, I'm 70 years old, Rod.
Wow.
I was born 9 months before the State of Israel.
Wow. And think about 70 nations. The 70 nations being involved in the redemptive work. Wow, that's amazing.
Right, and the bulls that were offered for those nations during 7 days of Sukkot,
mm-hmm.
all the time. I mean, 7 goes on. 70 human beings came down to Mitzrayim
mm-hmm.
to be the core for the B'nai Israel,
right?
Who eventually left, you know, were redeemed. But it was a partial redemption. It wasn't a full, complete redemption like we're expecting, you know, at the end of days. So 70, that number is so special. Oh, 2 score and 10 is the lifespan of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
It says in the Psalms, right?
Right.
At 70, and then 10 extra if they're blessed. So 70 is a really important number. So we're going to be doing these rallies. We have rally coordinators for all these cities. We have a WhatsApp group now for our rally coordinators.
Excellent.
We talk a lot on the WhatsApp group. There's just so much going on, so much excitement. Oh, and because of President Donald J. Trump,
mm-hmm.
and what
Drum
he
roll,
did
please.
A few weeks ago,
right.
in declaring something that everybody knew anyway, but so
right.
what, that Jerusalem is the capital, right, of the state of Israel. So
yeah.
we're going to have the Jerusalem flag also flying
oh, fantastic.
At our rallies this year. Yeah, right?
Actually, I don't know what it is. The way you're talking, it's so exciting. I've just got this huge smile on my face because it's like, this is an amazing time that we're living in right now. And this would be a great opportunity for the average guy who feels a connection to Israel as B'nai Anosim, et cetera, a Ben Noach or a Jew. This would be a great opportunity to really rally this year, make it big.
100%. And by the way, there were some cities that we didn't have over the past couple of years for whatever reason. You know, some things don't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, there was L.A. And I tried for 2 years in a row to have rallies in L.A., didn't work out. This year, not only do we have a rally coordinator, we have a whole group
wow.
of almost like 8 or 10 people who are going to be working on this. There's a festival in L.A. on the occasion of Yom HaAtzmaut in the Jewish world. You know, they put on this festival
mm-hmm.
with food and booths and music and this and that, not to mention just the flags and whatever. Our people are going to be there. They're going to have a booth there.
Oh, great, great, great.
It's just incredible what we're going to be doing this year. Because every year, Hashem gave us more and more contacts, mm-hmm. more and more people to come alongside and join. Just like, again, I keep bringing up this situation of the Soviet Jewry campaign
right.
that was run for, you know, roughly about 20 years. And every year, more and more people joined because it was such an injustice that the Jewish people were not being allowed to leave Russia to
right.
come to the homeland, you know, to our ancient land. And this is the same kind of thing.
It is.
This, what we're doing is a function of social justice to undo what was done 500 years ago to our ancestors with forced conversions. And then our people, our ancestors, for the whole of those generations in between, had to hide their Jewishness for fear of persecution. It's so unjust. And this is going to undo it by us helping these people to come back, you know.
What about the problem that it often it comes up with Beis Dins in the country, and at least here, that would say, well, the problem is they don't know their Judaism, their Yiddishkeit's not refined, you know, to just let them come in and just give them a pass is not a good thing. It's a very unhealthy thing for Judaism. It could cause it to break down and et cetera, et cetera. What do you say about that?
Well, they're 100% correct. And so we have rabbis who are forming Beit Din, Bate Dinim in mm-hmm. the plural, okay, to work with our people globally.
Okay.
That's the way you do it.
So, a proper system set up.
Right. Proper process, yeah, okay. proper system for either the return or a straight conversion, if that's mm-hmm. what it means. You know, in each case is decided on a case-by-case basis by every Beit Din. And we're working with modern Orthodox rabbis for the most part, okay? And we're having a brand new website come out quite soon, like literally tonight in beta test, and
wow.
then in a week or two for the full release, okay?
Do you want to
That's
give
talk
the address
about all
or
this.
No?
I'm sorry?
You want to give the address or not yet?
No, not okay. for the beta test, no. But I'll send it to you.
Okay, and we'll put it out.
And you can... Yeah, I'll send you the release link.
In the meantime, how does someone get a hold of you or the organization to find out more?
Oh, absolutely. So my organization is on Facebook. It's called Ezra, E-Z-R-A, La Anusim, L-A-N-O-U-S-I-M. So it's Help to the Anusim. And then if they type Israeli Amuta on Facebook, they'll find me because I'm the only organization on Facebook that has those two words in it. As you probably know, Amuta
right,
means nonprofit.
Right.
So it's Ezra Lanusim, Israeli Amuta, That's my Facebook page for the organization. They can look me up, Yaffa Bacha Da Costa, on Facebook, or they can send me an email, and my email is Yaff Bacha, YAFFBATYA at yahoo.com.
Yeah, it's really important because I know that every time that you and I have done a show, I get a flood of individuals asking, well, how can I get more information? Where do I talk? You know, who do I talk to, et cetera, et cetera. And it's very, very encouraging. I would say the vast majority of the people within our Native network come from that community of people that are trying to find out where they belong. And it's incredible. Now, we only have, I don't know, like 3 minutes in this segment here. Let's wrap up, I guess, the whole idea of what's going to happen on the date, sort of give a big view. So it's in this spring, it's April the 18th, did you say?
19th.
And it's basically a rally in different parts of the country and the world. Trying to get 70 nations would be great. But if you are in your city, your area, and you want to do this, make sure that you get a hold of Yaffa Bacha Da Costa as soon as you can so that you can sort of help coordinate that and get on the map, per se.
Yeah, absolutely, because we'll take more cities than 70. We're not limited to that.
Right.
I just want to have a minimum of 70. And by the way, this year, different from other times when I've been on the show, I now have a staff of managers.
Right.
On my team.
Right.
Okay. So we have a managing director for all the Latin countries, all the Spanish speaking countries, and we have a managing director for all the Portuguese speaking countries. Then we have a managing director for all media. He's the one that's working on our brand new website right now. And we have other people that are coming alongside. We have alliance partners. All of this is going to be on the website, by the way. We have alliance partners. We're going to be having corporate sponsorships for what we're doing. Okay, with the rallies and helping these people to come back. So it's really gone wild now in terms of, the organization is growing and we've got more and more people coming on board in all kinds of roles and responsibilities and capacities. It's so heartwarming. It's incredible because, see, to be honest with you, you know, when you have a nonprofit, you have to have somebody at the helm, somebody to hold accountable, right?
Right.
So
I
do have the title CEO.
Right.
Chief Executive Officer, but I'll tell you what I really am. I'm the CCO, Chief Cheerleading Officer. And I'm cheering everybody.
Unlike my title at Native, it's the Chief Cook and Bottle Washer. Okay.
Well, that's important.
Yeah, of course. Okay. It is very important. Well, look, we have to leave this segment. And then when we come back, we're going to sort of wrap it up with some of the latest things that have been taking place with help from the rabbinical community that last year I remember you sort of sweating, going, we've got to get this done, and now we see it. So we'll be back right after these messages.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix. Here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Entering into the final segment here on Beyond the Matrix, I'm your host, Rod Bryant, along with Yaffa Bacha Da Costa. We're talking about the rise of the Anusim in the nations. Those people are returning back to their Judaism, finding their connection to their ancient ancestral roots, and the exciting news that has been sort of happening in the last year is that there are some other people, very influential, and other rabbis that are sort of jumping onto the bandwagon, correct?
Absolutely. And it is a bandwagon, and we get more and more every year. You know, I'm just so thrilled about this year. Well, partly, as we spoke earlier, because it's the 70th anniversary of the State of Israel. And so
right.
it's just, See, what happened was, every year from the first year we did this, we got more and more blessed. And, you know, we say in our prayers, we thank Hashem who firms man's footsteps. And he'll firm our footsteps and help us along the path of our choosing, because he's not going to take away our free will.
Right.
Whether that path is towards, you know, the righteous and the holy side, or the what's called the other side, unfortunately, you know. Mm-hmm. But he'll help us in whatever we choose. And by the way, that help to somebody who's on the other side is actually intended to help them to see they're on the wrong side, so
right,
they can
exactly.
turn it around, you know, make tshuva, repent and come back. So these people called the Bananasi, they were raised in an environment of secrecy and of fear of outsiders and all kinds of stuff I could talk about, because of what happened to them that was out of their control. They did not choose Christianity. Their ancestors didn't. And so they were raised in an environment that they never should have been, by rights, because religion and spirituality and whatever we want to call it should be according to each person's conscience, you know.
Correct.
And what they choose. So it was totally out of their control. And they hadn't had a whole lot of help all these years to come back. I mean, I was very, very fortunate in the help I received. But I also had a long haul. It took me 12 years, Rod, by the time I was
right.
done. Okay. So we're trying to streamline the process, make it easier for people in the sense of how long it might take, so it doesn't have to take 10, 12, 15, 20 years. You know, it could take 2, 3, 4, whatever. And that's pretty normal for anybody coming into Judaism
right,
as
right.
a convert. So why should it be so hard and so different, you know, for these people who are in a situation not of their choosing? So it's getting better. It's really getting
Good.
Better.
So what about the rabbinical support? Do you have anybody new that's come on board that you're particularly excited about?
Well, I do, but I can't mention their names
yet.
Oh,
you would have to kill me, right? Is that how it goes?
Well, so it's sort of like a teaser for
okay.
me to come back another
okay.
month or two. But the other thing is, I don't mention people's names unless I'm interviewing them on a radio show, and then of course their name is public.
Right.
Or there are certain names that are going to be on our website that comes out another week or two.
Right. Okay.
Okay. That'll be identified there.
Oh.
But the thing is, some people, you know, I'll share something with you. Even though the verse in Ovadia is so close to the verse that says, and saviors will come, you mm-hmm. know, up on Mount Zion, whatever. Here's what's happened for some rabbis over the years. They were afraid to stick their neck out, okay, because of potentially, there's so many people that believe that this movement is going to happen just before the coming of Mashiach, or at the time of Mashiach, either one.
Right, right.
And so there have been some concerns in rabbinic circles that somebody would say to a rabbi who wanted to publicly be involved in this movement, who do you think you are, Mashiach?
Right, right. No, I get it. I get it. Look, that has actually been the lesson that Judaism has learned since, let's say, the Greeks or the Assyrians coming down and laying waste to the land, is you have to be careful what you say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I really do get that, but this is the difference now. Without having official recognition or, you know, blessing, whatever you want to call it, from most of the rabbinical world, these people are there. It's like, whether you like it or not, they're there. They're coming up. Yesterday, we were right in the middle of class. I had two Hispanic young men walk in and say, hey, we want to know more about what this place is, and can we come and study? And look, it's happening every day in our community. It's happening where you're at. It is happening all over the place, and it's not something we need to do besides just sort of encourage, fan the flame, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest with you, even the Israeli Knesset is involved
mm-hmm.
because in 2015, in October, there was a caucus, a meeting that was held at the Knesset. I was there and a whole bunch of people, about 300 of us were there, either people who are from the B'nai Nusim and had already come back, or people who haven't come back yet but are in process, and rabbis were there and Knesset members were there, about 300 people. And there is a head of that caucus. He's a man. He's a member of the Knesset. I'm going to be meeting with him pretty soon as well. I got to meet with all these, you know, bigwigs pretty soon. And there were a bunch of people that stood up and gave lectures. You know, that happened in October of 2015, and our first rally was for Yom HaAtzmaut in 2016. Not even 6 months later, so it's happening at a clip now.
It is. The point. It really is. Yeah. And with that being said, let's again reiterate how someone can get a hold of you. Probably the easiest way is by your email, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. And even if they write to me in Spanish, I have Google Translator, so I can translate it, and write them back in Spanish. So it's YAFF, the F is like Friday, YAFFBATYA, that's short for my name, Yaffa Bacha, without the A-H. So it's yaffbacha at yahoo.com.
Excellent. That's good. And also, I mean, if you look for her on Facebook, you'll be able to find her. You also can find them at, what was that place, the official Facebook page for Help. Is it Help? I don't see. What is it called?
No, it's called Ezra, which means help in Hebrew. Ezra La'anusim, Israeli Amuta is the whole name. And if they only just type in Israeli Amuta, they'll find me. I'm the only one that has those two words in the name of the organization.
Trust me, I just tried it and it worked.
Yeah,
so you
right.
Just do it in a search engine on Google or whatever. But, you know, it's really a very special time. And I do want to encourage people, especially if you are from Hispanic ancestry, that you have a hint or you think that you have an idea that you're from Jewish ancestry, it's time. We want to encourage you to fan the flame. If there are those who are still in their other religious practices, I want you to know that there is an incredible beauty at coming back and returning to the God of your fathers. It's an incredible feeling when you separate yourself from your Avodah Zarah, your idol worship, and commit yourself to the one true God. There is a powerful a spiritual moment when you realize that you have come home. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Yaffa, would you take a moment to encourage those people to do those, to make those decisions?
Well, I'll tell you from my own personal experience and from experiences I know firsthand, because people tell me about their own journey and whatever, this is a pull and a draw from Hashem himself who's doing this. It's something we can't explain, although one fellow from Brazil explained it to me this way. For him, his own process was one of where he got thoroughly confused, okay? And he couldn't deal with it. He had to go and figure it out. What was confusing him? What was bothering him? Because something was really bothering him. This is the way he explained it. And what I said to him was, well, the metaphor I like to use is the case of an oyster, and there's a little tiny speck of sand that gets into that oyster. And it's an irritant. It causes irritation. Okay? And so the oyster, that muscle, pushes and moves on that grain of sand over and over and over again, polishing it. And what do we end up with? The result is a beautiful pearl. Now, other people talk about these folks, the B'nai Anusim, as holy sparks that were separated from the rest of the Jewish world. Never should have happened, okay, but it did. And what we're doing is helping those sparks to come back. And it's a very holy work. It's a mitzvah. It's a huge responsibility for the Jewish people to do this, to help our Sephardi brothers and sisters whose ancestors were from Spain and Portugal originally, and now they're all over the world. It's incredibly holy work. Hashem is blessing it, and Hashem is doing the kiruv. We come alongside Hashem and help him. Not that he needs our help. He actually gives us the opportunity to come alongside. You know, he doesn't need us, but...
Right.
He's the one doing the kiruv.
He's
the one that's putting this grain of sand, if you want to use that metaphor, into people and causing the irritation and the confusion and causing them to seek out people like us who are trying to help them. We don't go try to find people. The rabbis asked me for years, Yaffa, where do you find these people? And I always say, I never find them. They find me.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. That's the world difference, is that this event is a God-driven event that we're not cooking up. We're just merely seeing there's an opportunity that the creator of the universe has allowed us to partner with him. And they're coming out of the woodwork. I mean, listen, they approach us all the time. And like we said in the earlier part of the show, what an amazing time watching redemption unfold before our eyes and seeing Hashem do the kiruv, the outreach into these communities. And it's not only with B'nai Anosim, it's those people within the nations that either they have a Jewish soul or they are just a divine spark that needs to be reunited back to Torah. We're living in amazing times, and I am so glad that you came on the show today. I look forward to having you back again, and I wish you the very best in your pursuits, and we'll talk again before this springtime. And we're going to say shalom, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Beyond the Matrix.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.